In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have this great feast of St. John Galbert. St. John Galbert is one of these great saints of the Church that really inspires you and I to be able to live our lives after Christ, to be real sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and not that of Adam and Eve who fell. St. John Galbert was a man there at the turn of the century. He was born in the year 999. Easy to remember. And there, as a Florentine, he followed his life in such a way that he entered into military service, and being a proud man, what does he do? One of his blood relatives was slain by the sword in a murderous way. And so he, being a man of honor, swore a blood oath against that person's life, seeking in any way that he could find him, that he would avenge him. Above all, who should be the one person urging his son not to go down that way? His father. His father did the opposite. Egged him on over and over again. How long must your brother's blood cry out for vengeance, and you do nothing to find this man? And so John Galbert searched all the streets, everywhere he went, seeking to avenge himself, avenge his brother. For this was not merely a fault that was taken against his family, but he saw it something against himself personally, that he could not in any way go forward until he finally put this man to an early grave. It came upon a day that John Galbert found this man. It was on a Good Friday. What do we do on Good Friday? We venerate one thing and one thing alone. It's the only day where this act does not take place, that of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What do we do on that day? We sing of the glories of the Holy Cross. We sing of the glories of that price which was paid. We meditate upon what our Lord did and the seven words which he spoke down upon the cross. And having come from Good Friday's service, John Galbert happened upon this man, finding him in a passage that was so narrow in the streets where he was that he knew his assailant, the man who killed his dear relative, had no chance of escape. He had his men with him, sword in hand, upon his steed, dismounted, and began to charge down that man who was in no way capable, so far as this great military man, John Galbert. And narrowing him down with the sword, knowing he had the right of vengeance, for he had sworn vendetta against his enemy, what did he do? The other man, seeing that he had nothing before him, knelt down upon his knees, stretched himself out in cruciform, and begged forgiveness of this Florentine man who had taken the life of one so loved of him. Listen to the words which St. John Galbert said to this man. He was moved at that moment. What had he just seen in that day? We already spoke about it, the cross. What had he kissed earlier that day? The cross. What is he seeing now before him? A man in cross, asking for forgiveness. Looking his enemy, who he had bent his entire life on slaying toward this moment, he said, quote, "I cannot refuse what you ask in Christ's name. I grant you your life, and I give you my friendship. Pray that I may forgive, that God may forgive me my sin." Find something powerful here in this man. Here, seeing the cross, seeing the moment that he was going through, immediately had a conversion of soul, and not only forgave, not only let go of the offense, but embraced him as a brother, a friend, and asked him that he might pray for him, that all that evil which he had cogitated upon, thought about for so long, had vengeance against for so long, that he might find forgiveness from God. What did Blessed John Galbert do after that moment? He immediately made his way toward the church, a changed man. He entered the church of San Miniato, which was very near to where he was, and when he prayed, what did he see happen before him? What was he kneeling before? The very same thing he had kissed earlier that day at the Good Friday service, the crucifix. The corpus, our Lord upon the crucifix, did something miraculous that day. He took his head, and our Lord Jesus bowed before him, which he took as a sign that God had looked upon his great magnanimous act of forgiveness, letting go of that rage, as a sign of pardon for him as well. He was a totally changed man from this moment and sought immediately to enter into the Camaldolese convent where St. Rombo, the founder of the Camaldolese order, resided himself. There was such great difficulty in taking him in because those who were there said, "He's a very powerful man, this John Galbert is, and his father certainly does not want this." And knowing what he had done there to get forgiveness in here, since he was the one who was egging him on toward great evil, this is going to cause problems for us. I don't think we can take him. St. John Galbert, who was there vested in just normal clothes, took a habit from somebody who had one set aside, put it on himself, and then shaved his head, saying, "I'm not leaving." after many weeks of living a totally reformed life, his father pleading upon the doors, "What have you done, taking my son in this way? Give him back to me," caused a conflict. But seeing the change in his son caused a change in his own heart, so that he not only allowed him to continue, but also urged him that he must continue, and to do penance, also to pray for him as well, his own conversion. We go on to see that he founded his own group of Benedictines in Vallombrosa, and so he started a great order that hailed from there. We see something else that happened within his life. He lived under the very strict observance as possible, as strict as he could be, because he knew how violent his sins were of his former life. And so what he sought to do was to totally give himself to an abandonment of the world, to prayer and to penance. When he was at an older age, more advanced, he was visiting another monastery which they had founded as a sister monastery, and that main monastery at what he was noticed by an enemy, one of the many enemies who he had made over the course of his life. And so that man came to the saint's place, finding him not there, there at St. Salvi, plundered it, set it on fire, and treated the monks with great ignominy, beat them and wounded them, just as a man would do to a beaten foe. Now, St. John Galbert had given his life for these monks. What did he do at this point? He turned to them and said to them, "Brothers, I rejoice with you. I rejoice with you that you have been found worthy to suffer in this way." He embraced them and said, "Now, you are true monks, each of you. Would that I myself have been there, had the honor of being with you when the soldiers came, that I might have had a share in the glory of your crowns." He sought in every way to find the lowest place, because he realized his whole life before was built on something else. Something for you and I to ponder this day. How do we deal with adversity? How do we deal with foes? How do we deal when we're slighted and attacked? When people do wounds to you and I, to our name? When they speak evil in front of us? I myself have had the grace of experiencing something like this week, and the story of Blessed John Galbert inspires me as well to see how one must really deal with those who speak spitefully against you, those who use you, those who attack you in all sorts of ways, whether you deserve it or whether you don't. We're doing a reading at this time from the book of Kings, King David. I'm reminded of his teaching there. I believe it's 2 Samuel chapter 16. I'm pretty sure it's even verse 11 and 12. The story is this. King David has just lost all of his sons. Absalom slayed all of his other sons. Then he set his eyes upon David's throne. Gathering all them into himself, he charged into the city. Many were wishing to support those who were against David, a man of war. He had made many enemies. And so seeing Absalom coming in and seeing the great bloodshed that would happen if he were to stand and fight, though he might win, at what cost, he left out the back way so that his son could take the city, and then maybe more people within the city would be spared the bloodshed. On the way out, there was a man by the name of Shimei, a young boy, a ruddy young man, one who was quite weak, a slave, as it were, almost. And he went on the way, seeing David in retreat, and began cursing him and saying, "Look, this is what happens to one who treats others in such a way. You who have kicked out Saul, now you yourself are kicked out. How does it feel?" Mocking him left and right with many worse things. One of his men-at-arms said, "David, this man should not speak against you, the king. Let me go out and deal with him as his words deserve. I will end his speech. I tell you, I will not need a second thrust." And David calms him down and says, "How do we know? What if it was the Lord God himself who has called this Shimei to come and to curse David? What then would it be if I silence his mouth? But if I do not, and if I bear it well, will the Lord then look favorably upon David for acting thusly and receiving the word? Would that you and I would treat our enemies with such ways, seeing that maybe God has called them to do such evil against us for our former sins, for the way in which our life has gone on before and endure that humiliation, and so taking on that humility might actually embrace what God actually calls you and I to. It's a very difficult thing. But the lives of the saints are there for you and I to be inspired by, and to see the way in which that former man is destroyed and utterly obliterated. Not by having vengeance ourselves, but letting the God who is the God who knows how to exact the right amount of vengeance in the right way toward the right persons. He knows who deserves what, when, and how. You and I are to be more like our Lord upon the cross, even when we aren't as blessed to be in the powerful position of dispatching our foe as Blessed John Galbert, seeing our foe begging for mercy and cruciform even on a Good Friday. Every day we have the sign of Good Friday before us, don't we? How many times a day do we make the sign of Good Friday? How many times ought we more to make the venerations as we do on Good Friday? If you find yourself struggling with a wound, with an attack, with an assault against your person, against your family today, beg St. John Galbert for the grace to be able to overcome it through the power of Christ, his cross, and his crucifixion, to plead that precious blood which we speak so eloquently about during this month of the precious blood that may be poured out upon us and upon our families and really be the thing which ends. Let our Lord's blood be shed, and let that be enough. A second note for today, for we share two saints today in modern times, St. Louis and Zélie Martin. Familiar with them, the parents of Thérèse. The parents of Thérèse. Today happens to be their feast day as well. This is a family who gave birth to many beautiful vocations. Every one of their daughters, because of their life of prayer and devotion, entered into the convent. One became one of the greatest saints of the whole history of the church, and the other, the youngest, the least likely to attain to such a way, her cause is up presently as well. What are some of the things which these blessed ones speak about? Because Zélie died at such a young age, we don't have as much from her, but Louis Martin had this to write about write this to his dear daughters. Just one little section from a short letter that he wrote. He wrote to his eldest daughter, Marie, calling her in the beautiful words as he always spoke with cariños, with dearness toward his daughters, giving them nicknames and love. He said, "Marie, my dear big girl and my first, I'm writing you in haste because we're about to leave and Father Marie is hurrying me. I received your lovely letter as well as Pauline's, my pearls. They made me very happy. I thought of you in all the sanctuaries where we visited here on pilgrimage, but there was no way of seeing the Holy Father, unfortunately. I'll tell you all about that later. Everything I see is splendid, but it's always an earthly beauty. And our heart is satisfied with nothing as long as we're not seeing the infinite beauty that is God. Soon, we will have the intimate happiness of the family and his beauty that brings us closer to him. I kiss all of you five with all my heart. Signed, your father who loves you." If you give yourself to read the correspondence between Louis and his daughters, one thing that you find over and over again, he says, "We're separated at a distance. But that only lasts for a short period of time, because soon this all will end, and then we'll be able to be together forever." He speaks over and over again about any joys that he received, any pleasures that he had, even of his company of his daughters, who were the only thing he lived for in this life after Christ. And he says, even these things are nothing in compared to what we have in store for us. Given all the slights and the difficulties and the hardships which you and I have to face with sin, there's something greater and more excellent that lasts far beyond. And that is what the saints have the purpose of reminding you and I to seek. Anything that happens here below, no matter how great, grand, excellent, or sublime, in no way does it compare to the glory which is in store for those who truly love God. And of one thing that we can urge you here on this day above all else, see, these will be accounted the greatest treasures that will be able to be laid before God in heaven, the things which will really matter when we make it to that blessed land. The saints tell us that there will be preserved by our own guardian angels all the beautiful, worthy communions which we made here within this life. And if you prepared yourself through a worthy confession, we're adding one more glory to that which will be received in heaven. Ponder these things. Ponder these things. And then even those slights, which so wound and destroy us, will seem as precious nothings, so easy to forgive, so easy to say, anyone who asks something of me in the name of Christ, how could I not give it? Even to the point of turning to an enemy and saying, you're now my friend. And still more, pray that I may be forgiven for even what I've thought against you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.